There's no shortage of inspiration in Italy when it comes to eating well. In a country known for regional specialties, let's turn our focus now on to Tuscany in the middle of the country. Jamie Blair Gould comes to us from his home base in the picturesque medieval walled town of Lucca. That's where Jamie and his wife are raising their family and where they organize gourmet tours for visitors to the Italian countryside. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rick. It's nice to be back.
You know, Jamie, when you travel in Europe, a lot of people, you know, they're burdened by the high costs and they wish their dollar was stronger. They sometimes forget that you can really enjoy some high cuisine in the picnic realm.
Oh, I think this is often the very best cuisine you get from the markets. Even the stores are fantastic and not at all expensive. And there's absolutely no need to be eating in restaurants all the time.
So let's say you got champagne taste for food, but pauper's budget. How can we make picnic cuisine high cuisine?
Very easily. I would say that there are a few rules here. It helps a lot to think ahead. I've seen many of my clients, when they go ahead and they get to the counter, and they're intimidated. There's somebody behind, there's somebody back there, and they end up pointing out the cooked ham and the cheese and the bread that they know. And so they end up eating what they would have done in the United States.
That happens to me. I go to the place that's the hottest place in town for your beautiful cheese and salami, and at lunchtime, all the local office workers are lined up there to get their sandwich. But you get caught up in a swirl, and you're not good with the language, and the merchant's going, he's kind of impatient, he's got to make his money. And I just end up pointing at the Emmental, you know, and that's a real loss.
Exactly. So I would think if you really seriously want a picnic, even if you just want a sack lunch, a panino, a sandwich, then I would think ahead what you might like. And for instance, if you're going to have cheese, why not have three ages of pecorino, the sheep's cheese? A mature one, a very young one, a fresh one, and a middle one with some honey and figs.
Honey and figs. So you could actually have on a little piece of paper, you could talk it over with the guy at your hotel desk, and you say, okay, I want to get three ages of pecorino, honey, and figs. You could actually have that strategy, that plan, and then you step into that deli. Bam, you're going
to
get it.
Absolutely. Or you might have to go to a couple of stores and go right to the cheese man and said, what I also would do is just to have a few terms. Like, for instance, since we're on a cheese bent here, you can think that a slice, una fetta, which is a cheese.
Una fetta.
So you just think of the Greek cheese feta. It means a slice.
Ah.
And this and that, questo o quello.
Questo o quello. I'm learning. This is cool.
So you don't need to
old, young, strong, mild.
Exactly. Vecchio.
Strong.
Giovane.
Forte.
And he'll understand pecorino,
right,
and you can say forte, strong, and dolce, soft. But just have a few words. You don't need to speak Italian.
Can you take a taste?
Oh, always.
What's the word?
Well, he'll just do it anyway. I wouldn't even have a word. I would just... Or I think the very first word I always teach anybody on any of our tours is can I? Posso.
Posso.
Can I?
And you put your fingers to your
lips. Exactly.
Posso.
And you have a rewarding experience. When the person understands that you know a little bit, they're more keen to offer you things.
Yeah, they're probably excited. You've got a sophisticated tourist here.
Absolutely.
Who appreciates the fine differences, because I've noticed when I interview these guys, they are so passionate about the quality of their prosciutto. And they talk to me as if I'm an Italian. Like, I really appreciate the difference between Abruzzo and Piedmonte or something.
Well, one
like
of the things I like to do is comparative tastings. I mean, I do a lot of wine tastings, and you can do the same with food. So if you're going to have prosciutto, for instance, prosciutto crudo, the raw ham, why not have a slice or two of Parma, a slice or two of San Daniele, for instance, and a slice or two of Tuscan ham? And then you can decide which you like best.
That is so much better than just brainlessly pointing to the big round ball of meat there.
Really?
All right. I'm talking with Jamie Blair Gould. We're talking about the perfect Tuscan picnic. Jamie, we're talking about Tuscan as opposed to Italian. What is the difference when you're making a picnic?
I think Tuscany is very in vogue, and Tuscan food is particularly in vogue at the moment. But I think the glorious thing about Italy is that every single region is delicious. I happen to live in Tuscany, and I do like the food there, but I think every region is interesting. I mean, you're going to get brisaola, you're going to get prosciutto, you're going to get mortadella in every region, and these. But then you're going to get the particular things. For instance, the great salami of Tuscany is fenocchiona, and it's fennel-encrusted salami. And there's a beautiful story to this. Is when I was in Volterra in a little wine bar recently, they said it's typical of the Florentines. A trick is that fennel destroys your taste buds. So what they used to do before giving you the wine is to give you some fenocchiona, which is with fennel in it, so that you couldn't tell whether their wine was good or bad.
No,
but
that's devious.
It's absolutely delicious. The fenocchiona, really juicy. And
So let's say you're a wealthy big shot in Milano and you're going to one of these very expensive delis. What is it, Pex or something
exactly,
like this?
Yes.
And you just want the very best. What sort of Tuscan beautiful thing would find its way that a Milanese guy would actually ask for? I want this Tuscan style.
Well, I think particular Tuscan dishes. I mean, I don't think Milanese would necessarily, because they know their own dishes and possibly don't know the Tuscan so well. But if I was doing a Tuscan picnic, for instance, the Finocchiona, as I said, is very, very Tuscan. The Pecorino, particularly from Pienza, is where they supposedly the best is. Then there are the little salads, for instance, like panzanella, the bread salad, which I'm sure you've had at some stage, Rick. The old bread, which they soak, dry out, mix with cucumber, spring onions, tomato, mint, basil.
Now you bring up something very important here, Jamie, how to break out of just the sandwich, the panino rut, when you're making a picnic.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I would like to say, and if you don't want to upset your guy behind the counter, is not to ask for mayonnaise or butter or anything like that, and don't put cheese and ham together.
Put cheese and ham together?
Well, their feeling is that if they've aged these hams for 4 years, they don't want you to stick a slab of Gruyere on the top of it.
You could have it on the same meal, but you'd want to keep them separate.
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Good.
I mean, you might not want it in a panino. You might want to get some bread on the side.
Okay, but these are great cold cuts, great cheese, great meat, great bread. What's the easy way to make it feel more than just a sandwich? Salads you would get?
Of course, and I'd say exactly the same thing is that when you go to the salad man in the market or in the supermarket even, is don't just get the tomato you know, get several tomatoes, do a little tasting of them. Mm-hmm. You've got the big, what they call cestino or whatever, they're big salad tomatoes rather than the cooking tomatoes. Then they have the little datterini, for instance, the little juicy tomatoes. You can get a collection of those, slice them all up, and just pour some olive oil and salt on.
And you can go to a rosticceria and get cooked, fixed up dishes to go. I get the sense that these high-powered, big-city professionals, they don't have time to cook at home, but they want to have, you know, something nicely cooked. They'll stop by a rosticceria.
Rosticceria, see.
Rosticceria.
Yeah, and again, I would, if you're going to do that, rather than getting chicken, which you know, is have something different like the spiedine, the skewers, which have a little bit of the wonderful Tuscan grilled sausage, a little bit of pork, etc. And they often put bell peppers and pieces of bread because it soaks up the juices. So I would always go for something a little bit different. Don't be intimidated to get the thing that you know.
You could complement your fine sandwich with a salad, a local salad, a fresh salad
and
made
again,
at the
same thing with the salad. Don't no iceberg.
But you get it in the little plastic tin to go at the
rosticceria.
Rosticceria. So you're stopping at several stops just as part of the joy of putting together your picnic.
If you wanted to do it that way, absolutely. I mean, you could do a one-stop place, and you could do it also in the supermarket in Tuscany. There's a wonderful chain of supermarkets called S. Lunga, which means the long S, which is their logo. The quality of their food, their just prepared food, is because they do it daily.
It's great.
So they'll have fresh panzanella, the salad, the what they call farro, which is a lot of people say it's spelt, but it's actually a emmo wheat, which is an old Indo-European wheat, which they used to eat. The Romans used to eat. The Etruscans used to eat. And it's a little like barley, but not so slimy. They cook this, cool it down, and then they mix this with various things, even a little seafood. And so you can just get a little tub of this to have cold. So you can get a few tubs of little pre-prepared food, which isn't canned. It's just to be eaten that day. And even quality supermarkets will have some excellent offers.
You know, you're a tour guide, and I'm just thinking about this because I've had years of taking groups through Italy, and you put together your palaces and your castles and your museums and your galleries and your viewpoints, and then you just slam down a lunch. The lunch could be a cultural experience as well, and it can be in this picnic sense. Florence, I was just in Livorno. All of these cities have wonderful markets.
Oh, the central market in Florence is one of my favorite.
It's a feast on all the senses, and then you meet people, you taste stuff, and you buy your little picnic, and then you find a nice spot to sit and enjoy it.
If you're bent on viewing something doing, come to Florence, where is life more active and attractive than in Florence? Where are people singing and a-swinging, but in Florence?
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're joined by Jamie Blair Gould, and Jamie's a tour guide that specializes in appreciating the cuisine of Italy with his groups. So, Jamie, I've noticed that different guys who run delis and so on are passionate about the quality of their cheese and their ham and their meat. What about the bread?
Well, a lot of people don't like what they call Tuscan bread, and the reason is because it's saltless, and there are three reasons for that. The first is that because a lot of the Tuscan food is salty, that they wanted a neutral base. And that's one of the things to bear in mind. If you're eating anchovies and salty food and prosciuttos, you don't want some sort of greasy, salty bread. Another is the fact that when the bread dries out, because it doesn't have salt, then you can crumble it up almost like couscous, and you can make pastas with it, all the panzanella, the bread salad I was referring to. And the third reason, which is the most important, is the Pope had the salt tax, and they were damned if they were going to pay the Pope his tax for his salt.
So they were just part of the culture, is this unsalted, is it a sourdough?
Casalingo, no, it's not. But just like with anything else, there are good versions and not so good versions. But it's not the only choice. Of course, there is the, you know, in Liguria, they have, of course, the focaccia, which is that very chewy olive oil bread. In Florence, they call it schiacciata, and it's a very, very chewy kind of bread as well. But again, I think it's nice to have a few pieces of that. But again, don't fall into the trap of having too many flavours. Sometimes it's nice to have a more neutral bread to show off the oil of the fats.
I was just thinking a popular treat for a lot of locals is just have your bread with olive oil and salt.
Well, exactly. I mean, it always amuses me on my tours. Here in the United States, you go to an Italian restaurant and it's something they make out as being fine dining to have on a bone china plate, and they bring in olive oil and balsamic vinegar with it, which Italians would never do. But in Italy, it's just literally something that you would mop up. They call it making the little shoe in Italian. And
what's
you literally
word?
Mop it up, fare la scappetta.
You're just kind of mopping up the oil and making the little shoe with your bread and munching away and chatting
absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely. And if you're going to have a salad, for instance, rather than making a dressing or something, just buy one of those. In the markets, you can buy just a tiny quarter litre bottle of olive oil. It costs very little. It's usually very, very good. So rather than making up a dressing, you can go along to the market. And don't buy iceberg lettuce. Buy those radicchios and the what you call arugula over here, rucola in Italian. We call it rocket in England for some reason.
So you
reason.
Moved from Britain to Italy. It sounds like you're enjoying eating your way through it. So you're set up and you know the cuisine. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're eating our way through Tuscany right now with Jamie Blair Gould. Let's go to our callers. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Daphne's on the phone from Kensington, Maryland. Daphne, thanks for your call.
Sure, thank you. So I had a couple of questions. We're going to be in Florence. And I was wondering if you could recommend particular markets or merchants we could go to for the picnic?
Absolutely. I mean, you really can't go wrong with the central market in Florence, close to where the leather market is. And there's a huge, big central covered market, and the produce is fantastic in there. You needn't escape from it. You can get everything for your picnic right there.
San Lorenzo area, isn't it?
It's the San Lorenzo area, but it's known as the central market, Mercato Centrale.
And you step in there, and it's sort of a 19th century steel and glass kind of building.
Exactly. It's a beautiful building.
Beautiful building, and just a cacophony of sounds and smells and energy.
It's the cathedral of gastronomy.
It really is. You know, right next to the Bargello and the Medici Palace and the Uffizi and Michelangelo's David, you've got this celebration of beautiful Italian ingredients.
Great. So do you have particular merchants that you like there, or are they all...
Well, I would trust your senses. I mean, I could pick out a few for you, but I would trust your senses. Wander around. Don't be in a hurry. If you are over there and you're going to have a picnic, spend the time. Get a few of the phrases that you need ahead of time to use. Don't be rushed into it. And I just absolutely love wandering around the market and seeing who has the best, the freshest. I mean, you know, if you look, you'll see what's the best.
Okay. I'm just asking because there are these people who do these market tours and charge like a lot of money.
I honestly don't think, I think you can trust your senses, but what I would recommend learning a few phrases. For example, a slice, una fetta. I mean, it's like the Greek cheese, feta. It's so easy. You don't need to learn Italian, but this and that, questo e quello. I mean, it's so easy because you're going to be pointing. So what I would do is imagine yourself in front of the store before you go there, because you tend to go up there and somebody's behind and the guy's speaking a different language, you're intimidated and you end up pointing to the cheese and the ham that you know. Mm-hmm. So I would think ahead of time what it is you'd like, and then you can go up and use your little Italian, and it's fun. And what I've always found in Italians are born with a gene that wants to make you eat. And they will, once they know that you're interested in something and their food, they will spend all day with you.
That is so true. They want you to eat. In fact, Daphne was asking about what's a favorite merchant. Well, I don't know which ones have the best produce, but I do have a few favorites when it comes just to free samples in that market.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I mean, you can actually fill up on these free samples and without even knowing it. I mean, there's so many people shoving great food at you. They just wanted you to try it.
That sounds like fun. And then my last question is, in some of these books I've read about, I think it's like 10-year-old balsamic vinaigrettes, and I'm not sure if the oils also have different ages. Can you?
Well, not
like wine or something.
Yes, well, balsamic vinegar is a subject that I'm very particular about, because there's a lot of really nasty stuff which isn't balsamic vinegar. Quite frankly, if it ain't expensive, it ain't good.
Okay.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot of it is just really very sweet stuff. And if you're if you've got good olive oil, why on earth mix it with some sweet, sticky balsamic vinegar?
That's pretty good. Then just focus on the olive oil and don't really worry too much about the vinegar.
Well, yes, or if you really want, I mean, I highly recommend taking a decent bottle of balsamic vinegar back home. Rather than buying wine or olive oil, I would take a very good bottle and just use it sparingly.
Great.
I mean, one drop is enough to flavor a beef steak or a piece of fish, but it's got to be expensive.
All right, so just, and as far as the olive oil, just pick what I like, just get taste and just take one.
Well,
the
olive oil, I mean, you want something in Tuscany, you're not going to go wrong. If it's a good store, they are proud of their olive oil, and it's not expensive. And if you're not eating it up, you should be.
All right.
And how do you ship it home with the thing about now liquids on airplanes? You put it in your suitcase?
Yes, that's why I say a little bowl of balsamic vinegar, I mean, a little goes a long way, and then you can sort of wrap it up in your dirty laundry.
And Daphne, the no liquids on airplanes is for carrying on. You can only carry a little bit on, but you can check as much as you want.
I'm just worried about if it breaks. Well, that's what I mean.
Yes,
that worries me.
Well, wrap it up in bubble wrap and everything else and put it in the middle of your bag. But I wouldn't take olive oil and wine. It's not worth it. You can get good bottles here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daphne,
thanks
for your call. Good luck
eating on
your next trip.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Jamie, when people compare French and Italian, it's always, you know, the French have their beautiful sauces and their fancy heritage, and the Italians just are passionate about the ingredients. If you were to distill it right down, what is your thought on that?
Well, I think when we think of classical French cuisine, we're talking about a very rich, saucy, high cuisine. But I certainly enjoy having picnics in France as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a very different, I mean, I would have the soft cheeses and the pâtés and the baguette and various other things there. But the picnic would be very different in Italy.
How so?
It'll be cold cuts, affettati, as they call them, prosciutto, salamis, and then it would be various cheeses of different types. I mean, it might be some soft cheeses like taleggio, but more, I would think of the pecorino, the sheep's cheeses. And even my favourite eating cheese is Parmesan. We tend to think of Parmesan as a grating cheese.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a grating cheese.
Well, what you have over here tends to be very much
harsher,
more
older.
age that goes on it. But it forms a really, really wonderful eating cheese.
Now, there's a very good point, because we just think of Parmesan as something really old and sharp, but there would be a milder Parmesan.
Oh, there's very, very creamy, and that's what usually you would get. And if you go up to the cheese counter, they will cut a little piece off for you to taste.
Jamie and his wife, Nina, offer food-themed guided tours in Italy. There's more information at papillonselect.com. That's P-A-P-I-L-L-O-N, as in the French word for butterfly. Jamie shares more ideas for eating well Italian style in just a moment here on Travel with Rick Steves.